I'll be reading these three verses. John 15, verse 26. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. And John 14, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is the word of God.
Very good morning. I'm Veronica. It's my joy to share God's word with you today. How are you feeling today? For the past two Sundays, we have been looking at the promise and the coming of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And today we will continue to understand further about the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is invisible. The common questions we may ask, where is the Holy Spirit in my life? I cannot see the Spirit at work, so I don't need him. I can live my life without the Holy Spirit. It is of no help of me. And very often, we refer the Holy Spirit in non-personal terms, since it is a spirit. We also associate the spirit in terms of images too. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2, the coming of the Spirit is being seen as a mighty rushing wind. Then verse 3 tells us that as a fire appeared to us. Now, all these impersonal images makes the Holy Spirit look non-personal, actually. And this will affect how we see the Holy Spirit in our life. In fact, the Greek word of the Spirit of God itself means breath. Now, do we address the Spirit as it, as impersonal, or him as a person? So no wonder we regard the Spirit as blur. How we wish the Holy Spirit is visible so that we can see and be aware of him in our lives. Do we feel this way? Now I pray that at the end of today's sermon, God will increase our awareness of the Holy Spirit in the midst of us. Before we begin, let us go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your presence, be with us. We pray that, Lord, even as we listen to your word today, help us to unlearn the blur image that we have of your Spirit and give us clear understanding through the enablement of the Spirit inside us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I like to watch this documentary show about Korean food, and this is a very famous show in Korea. Now, big cooking show using different kind of food in eateries or street food. Actually, I like to watch this show introducing the best Korean food by searching restaurants all over Korea. Now, there are interesting dialogue, their food display, the way the host ate and described the food, just make you hungry. And they make the whole show so vibrant and interesting to watch. Even the show was in Korean language and with only Chinese subtitles. Just amazing. Now, after watching once, you know, it created an appetite in me to desire to watch again and again. And actually, after watching such show, I would crave to eat Korean food the next day. And you know what? I actually went to eat Korean food. So it's just amazing how they can create such a show in such a interesting way, you know, without telling me to go and eat the food. So I realized the repeated visualization of the food in the show was so powerful that it actually created a subconscious impact in me to hunger for such food. It just made me want to try and eat it without asking me to eat it. Now, when we look at the Holy Spirit, we also need to visualize the Spirit of God too, since the Spirit is invisible. As we can better visualize the Holy Spirit in our lives, it will create a greater awareness of the Spirit within us. Then it will also impact us to desire or hunger to know and experience more of the Holy Spirit within us consciously or subconsciously. So how do we visualize the Holy Spirit? Now we visualize the Holy Spirit as the person of God himself. This is my first point. The Holy Spirit as person, the person of God himself. Now, when we talk about God the Father, we know pretty well who he is, right? Because when we read the Bible, it provides so many stories about God. Then we know about very well about God the Son, Jesus Christ, when we read the four Gospels in the New Testament. But then come to understand the Holy Spirit is kind of gray and blur, even though the whole Testament frequently uses the phrase, the Spirit of God. And the New Testament uses the Holy Spirit. When I did a word count on the Holy Spirit in the Bible, 42 times appeared in the book of Acts, and is the most mentioned there. So if we want to understand more about the Holy Spirit, I think the book of Acts would be a good book to read. Now, Acts chapter 1 talks about the promise of the Spirit. Then chapter 2 mentions his coming. The whole book of Acts actually shows the person and the works of the Holy Spirit. If we read or study the book of Acts without understanding or emphasizing the Holy Spirit at work, then we have missed the whole biblical significance. Now, why the Spirit of God is called the Holy Spirit, have we asked ourselves? Why isn't it called humble spirit, powerful spirit? Why called Holy Spirit? Now, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2 says that, Moses, when the Lord speaks to Moses, saying that, speak to the congregation, that you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. There are many texts in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, stress that God is a holy God, and Leviticus 19, verse 2 is just one of the many. As the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, he has the attributes of God too. As God is holy, so is his Spirit. This is why the Spirit of God is also called the Holy Spirit. Just the term Holy Spirit, you will directly tells us the Spirit is holy. Now then, who is the Holy Spirit? To talk about the Holy Spirit, we need to start to talk about God himself first. Now we have only one God, right? We have only one God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4-5, it says that the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay? And God is three persons. That is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, during our baptism, we were all baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as mentioned in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. So, we are all baptized in the three persons of God. We know, right? Now, so we have only one God, and God is three persons. Now, John 14, 16 says, and I will ask the Father, and we give you another helper, to be with you forever. Then 15:26 says, when the helper comes, the helper is the Holy Spirit, whom I send you from the Father, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Now, so from these verses, we know that Holy Spirit is from God himself, and the Holy Spirit is not any other spirit, but God's Spirit himself. So in this sense, we can visualize the Holy Spirit as person, the person of God himself. Now, this will help us to understand the Holy Spirit is personable. How to do that? So when we talk about Holy Spirit as a person, we have to think of God himself, So this helps us to understand the person of the Spirit. And the Spirit also has feelings like God. He has the attribute of God like holiness. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we were sealed by the, for the day of redemption. So here tells us, you know, that the Spirit has feelings as well. Huh? Okay, God has feelings, so is the Spirit. So it's important for us to understand the Holy Spirit as person, the person of God himself. So if you are not sure, think of God, you think of Holy Spirit, the attributes that they share. Now, however, if we just look at the term Holy Spirit without relating to the person of God himself, then we will always think the Spirit as just a spirit, impersonable, has no feeling. So to help us to deepen this visualization, we need to unlearn the impersonal images we associate with the Holy Spirit, like wind, fire, object. Okay, we have to unlearn this. And we need to relearn. Okay, how do we relearn? We need to relate the Holy Spirit as person using the personal pronouns he, him. Okay, and don't use the impersonal neutral gender as it, because it will refer the Spirit as just a thing. You know, it's impersonable, okay? But him, he refers to him as a person, okay? As a man. This is important. Now, so what does it mean to us? I will encourage us, even for myself, to start to use and articulate the term Holy Spirit and the personal pronouns he and him in our spiritual discipline, journaling, writing, conversation with people and others. For example, we often say, God is at work. We can now change to say and write, Holy Spirit is at work. When we confess to God in our prayers, we can start to say like, I have grieved the Holy Spirit in me because of my sins. Or when we give thanks in God in our prayers, we can say and write, thank God for the Holy Spirit in me. He has enabled me to present my project plan. When we are stressed or anxious over our examinations, we can pray like that. God, please enable me by your Holy Spirit to complete my study for exam today. In such articulation, we actually visualize it as we do our daily discipline. Okay, it helps us to visualize it and impact us consciously and subconsciously, without us even knowing. This helps us to be aware of the Holy Spirit is at work in us, okay? So imagine we use and articulate the word Holy Spirit in our lives using him and him many times this week, week after week. The repeated impression of this word will start to register this person of the Spirit in us, in our conscious and subconscious mind. Now, this is one way we can deepen the visualization of the Holy Spirit as person, the person of God himself. Now, when we read the New Testament especially, we know that the coming of the Jesus Christ as his birth on earth changed everything in our world, right? Because it brought a new spiritual era to us. So too has the coming of the Holy Spirit. We will understand more of the Holy Spirit as the sermon speakers will be expounding on the book of Acts in these few months. So in learning about the Holy Spirit, we're also looking at the personal presence of God himself. Now, this is my second point. Okay, the Holy Spirit as God's personal presence. Now, do we know that the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of God's promise to dwell in and among his people? This is to say, God, the Holy Spirit is God present among us. The fulfillment of God's promises can be found in Ezekiel 37, verse 5. It says that, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. This verse tells us that God himself breathed life into us. Then in Jeremiah 31, verse 33, it says, that I will put my law within them, I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This verse means that God himself write his law upon us, and that he would give his spirit upon us so that God would dwell in us. And this promise is fulfilled in Acts chapter 1 and 2. Now then in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, he says that, you know, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in him, was sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, this verse reinforced that when we first believe in Jesus Christ, our conversion, the Holy Spirit has already indwelt in us. Okay, for the Christians here today, how many are assured that we have the Holy Spirit in us now? Can you raise your hand? Not many, no. Okay, I hope at the end of this sermon, we are assured the Holy Spirit in us as you believe in Jesus already, okay? This is very important. Okay, so it's crucial for us to know that we are already indwelled by the eternal God in the Holy Spirit in us. So not only God indwells in individual believer, but also within the church as the corporate gathered community as well. What do we mean by that? Now, in the Old Testament, we read that God's personal presence was with his people, was dwelt in the holy mountain, right? At the Exodus time. Then God's dwelling place was moved to tabernacle and to the temple of God at Solomon's time. So this concept of God's dwelling place among his people is continued and moved on to the church in the New Testament as well. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 16 to 17. Now do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about the church in Corinth. So the you here is in plural form. And it refers to the church, the community of believers in Corinth. The temple imagery refers to the church as a corporate body in which the Holy Spirit plays the leading role. Now, as such, this first Corinthian passage is also one of the most important passages to help us to understand the significance of us being God's people. And the church is God's dwelling place in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is God present among us. So, if we were to ask, where is the presence of God seen today? What would we say? We can confidently say that we can see or visualize the Holy Spirit in two ways. Firstly, God's presence is seen in me and in every believer's life through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, as we know that when we become a believer in Jesus at our conversion, the Holy Spirit dwells in us already. Secondly, the presence of God is seen in the church, the gathered community in Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. For the church is God's dwelling place in the Holy Spirit. Do we know? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 tells us that God will destroy whoever tries to destroy the church, for God's church is holy and we are the church. This warning shows how important is the local church to God. Now, what does it mean to us? As the Holy Spirit is God's personal presence with us individually as believers, and corporately as the church, God is a holy God. This means that holiness is not optional for us and for the church because we are indwelled by God himself. Now, verse 17 tells us that God has set the church apart to be holy just like him. This implies to us individually to live a holy life and not to sin against God. Now, do nothing to cause disunity in the church through division as seen in the Corinth church. Now, we cannot take God church lightly, and we cannot take Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church lightly because we are important to God. For anyone who causes disunity in God's church God will punish them, as said in this verse. Now, is there strife or division among us in cell group, in ministry, in leadership, or even the pastoral staff? What differences can be so great that we cannot work things out for the unity of the church? Now, as I ponder over this, I feel that the Holy Spirit impressed upon me two things. Firstly, I feel the awesomeness of God because God dwells within me, and God's real personal presence in me is just amazing. What a wonderful blessing from God Himself who dwells among His loved ones. And this further deepens my respect and fear for our God, because our God is a holy God. Now, secondly, I cannot or do not cause any disunity. I should strive to maintain unity in working with my co-workers in church, especially with my committees, with the pastors, and with church leadership. This is to give and take, to major on the major and minor on the minor. And I should not allow any strife or division to enter into the ministries under my care with the help of the Holy Spirit, because God's church is holy. Now, God dwells among us in the Holy Spirit. Let us honor God by honoring His church in living in holiness, as seen in maintaining unity in Amokyo Presbyterian Church. Now, the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of God's promise to dwell in and among His people. The Holy Spirit is God present among us. Thanks be to God. Now, so far we learned that we can visualize the Holy Spirit as person, the person of God Himself, as God's personal presence dwells in and among us. And now we shall see the Holy Spirit as empowering presence of God. Now, this is my third point, the Holy Spirit as God's empowering presence. Now, as we talk about the presence of God by the Holy Spirit, it also meant for the powerful and empowering presence of God. Now, when Jesus ascended into heavens in Acts chapter 1, God did not leave us as orphans, no. He sent the Holy Spirit to us, as seen in chapter 2, Acts. Now, in John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Now, this verse tells us that God the Father sent the Holy Spirit as our helper. In other versions of the Bible, the word helper is also known as counselor or comforter. Now, and the purpose of this helper, the Holy Spirit, is to teach and remind us of the Jesus teaching from the Bible. In other words, the Holy Spirit is to teach us to live a Christian life according to God's word. Now, this means that our Christian life in the present is empowered by God who dwells among us and in us through the Holy Spirit. Now, as the personal presence of God, the Holy Spirit is not merely some force or influence. He has the power of God to change or transform us towards Christ's likeness. The Holy Spirit, as God's presence, has the deity of God as well. He has the Godward nature of our God the Father. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 to 11, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." Now, this verse tells us that the Holy Spirit is all-knowing, omniscient, like God Himself who understands God's thought. Then in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10, it tells us the Holy Spirit is all-present in heaven and earth, just like God Himself. Like, "Where shall I go from you, the Spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? And I go to heaven or go to hell? You are there," okay? Then in Genesis chapter 1, 2, it tells us the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. That the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning at the God's creation. It shows that He has the powerful, like God, He has the power of God as well. So the Holy Spirit, as God's presence, has God's nature. He's all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful like God Himself. So in other words, the Holy Spirit is the empowering presence of God dwells in and among us. He has God's transformation power. Now, so how does this empowering presence of God in the Holy Spirit seen today? Now, God's empowering presence in the Holy Spirit is also seen as signs and wonders in the books of Acts. We will discover the works of the Spirit in the persecuted church and Christians in Acts. When the Spirit is at work, we read that signs of many conversion, prison doors open, healing, miracles all happen in the book of Acts. Now, do all these miracle signs still exist today? Okay, the empowered presence of God is seen in these signs. Is it still exist today? Personally, I believe these visible signs still exist in our world today, because the Holy Spirit is God's empowering presence at work. It is the presence of a living God. If our God is living, how would these signs not happening today? So one older sister shared with me, several years ago, she went to Africa for mission exposure for a few months. She's very gung-ho kind. She went to these very remote places where people don't go, actually. And she shared God's word at the church. Now, the local Christians gather in a hut, okay, in Africa for their church service. So she was there sharing God's word with a translator. Now, after that, the Christian came forward to be prayed for by her. So she just prayed for them, okay? But to her surprise, when she prayed for the lame was healed and could walk. She prayed for the sick were healed. It was like an enactment of the book of Acts then in Africa. It was the empowering presence of God at work in the Holy Spirit. So I asked, what happened? She said that these miracles happened because the local Christians hunger for God so much that God had to show Himself in that way. Back home in Singapore, we seldom see such signs because we do not hunger enough for God. In other words, we do not love God enough. So the question is, are we hunger for God? How much do we love or desire God in our lives? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 tells us that, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, and we are in the last days now, sir. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And this is so true today, that we really love ourselves more than we love God. This also explains why we cannot or seldom experience God's empowering presence in our life through the Holy Spirit, because we do not love God enough. Now, besides visualizing this Holy Spirit as God's empowering presence in signs and miracles, He can be seen in not so visible signs like what? Now, the Holy Spirit also empowers for endurance in the midst of adversity and for everything else as we endure till we see the final glory in heavens. Colossians chapter 1 verse 11 tells us that being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Now this verse tells us that we are strengthened with God's power for endurance of all circumstances. We know that at different stages of life, we face different challenges. When 12-year-old child moved to their teens, they learn to cope with their puberty. Now, youth face peer pressure, exam stress, and challenge authority and discipline. Then when they move to young adult stage, enduring major changes in their life in finding a job, building their career, marriage, parenting young children. Then they move to adult stage, endure in parenting with teenage kids, supporting children university education, endure with job demand and difficulties, marriage tension, caregiving of aged parents, personal health issues, facing aging matters, and others. It goes on and on and on. And at the same time, we struggle to live a Christian life and serve God. You know, we cannot endure these life challenges by our human strength. Even we have the best family support, the best health, your wealth, we are still imperfect because we are still human. We will still be weak. We are not God, basically. But thanks be to God that He has already given us His power in the Holy Spirit within us. What a privilege. In other words, God has empowered us to endure our life challenges with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Where do we find such a God on earth? And God has given us His empowering presence in the Holy Spirit. Then we need to learn to depend on Him more and more to endure our problems, difficulties, and circumstances each day. Now, the easiest way out is to quit our job, quit our school, and walk out in our relationship and find instant solutions. But God desires us to endure our life challenges because we cannot always find quick fixes. God knows our needs, and that's why He sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to live our lives on this earth. And our earth is not getting better, okay? It's getting worse of the darkness we see. Now, not just that, God wants us to depend on the Holy Spirit to endure in our Christian life as well. Now, even we struggle to be faithful to Jesus, struggle to serve Him and others, let us endure. Do not give up our faith in Jesus Christ. Let us endure and do not walk out in our relationship with our God. God has given us His empowering presence in the Holy Spirit. And His empowering presence is seen in our endurance, in our life circumstances. Thanks be to God, for He has brought heaven to us in the Holy Spirit. Do we know that? We don't need to go to heaven to taste what is heaven like, you know. God has brought heaven into our life because He has given us His presence in the Holy Spirit in us. And not just His presence, the power in His presence. We can taste the power of heaven here on earth without being in heaven. Now let us depend on the Holy Spirit in living our Christian life here on earth. Let us begin to experience more of God's empowering presence in the Holy Spirit, in our lives and in the life of the church. And let God's empowering presence in the Spirit be seen in our transforming life, especially in our endurance, in our life challenges. Now, personally, I am very blessed in preparing this sermon because it creates a deep sense of awe and respect for God within me. And I felt the Spirit encouraged me three things. Firstly, is to live a holy life as not to defile God's presence in me. Secondly, to be able to obey God's call to serve Him full-time and remain in His calling for more than 21 years is certainly not by mere human strength. It is not by myself. It is by the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit within me. And thirdly, it's to depend on the Holy Spirit more to endure the life challenges so as to remain in His calling for me. And I pray that as we experience God's presence in our lives through the Spirit, I hope that God will speak to us as well and to encourage us to endure in our spiritual life and to our walk with God, that we can serve Him in a way far beyond in our imagination, depending on the Holy Spirit, not on our human strength. Now today we have visualized the Spirit as person, the person of God Himself, and the Spirit comes from God. The Holy Spirit as God's personal presence indwells in us and in the church. And the Holy Spirit is God's empowering presence enabling us to live our Christian life on earth. This sermon sums up in point three, that's the title of the sermon. There's the Holy Spirit as God's empowering presence in our lives. This is what we need to remember and visualize the Holy Spirit through our experience with Him. Now, at the start of the sermon, I shared that I love to watch Korean food documentary. It just so successfully whet my appetite and make me hunger to eat the Korean food. Now, obviously, we cannot eat the Holy Spirit, huh? But we can experience God's empowering presence in the Spirit within us. Now, as we experience more and more of the Holy Spirit in us, we will see changes or transformation in our lives without us even knowing. And this had to be by the work of God empowering presence. Now, to be able to experience more of the Holy Spirit in our life, we first need to desire or hunger for God more today. Is this your desire today, to hunger for God? Now, let us pause and respond to God by bowing our heads. God loves us so much that He has sent His Spirit to empower us to live our Christian life on earth. God's person, the presence, dwells among us today, and His presence is in our church now in Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. Now, before our holy God now, do you desire to experience more of God's empowering presence in our life through the Holy Spirit? Now, if this is your desire today, you can raise your hands as an indication to God, and I'll pray for you. I see your hands. Any more hands? I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. God promises in Jeremiah 29 verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord." The God promise. Our God promised that when we desire Him, hunger Him wholeheartedly, He will show Himself to us. Is this your desire today? You can raise your hands and I pray for you. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. Any more hands? I see your hands. I see your hands today. Let us pray. God, we thank you so much. You see the hands that have raised up today. That we desire hunger and for you, Lord God, like never before. And we pray that, God, we thank you. You did not leave us as orphans when you lifted up Jesus to be with you in heavens. You gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live our Christian life here on earth. Lord, forgive us that we are lovers of self, money, and pleasure more than we love you, Lord. May you be pleased with the hands that have raised up just now so that we desire you more than in our lives now. Lord, I pray that you will renew the spirit within us, kindle the hunger for you like never before. Let us earnestly desire to read the Bible and pray in the power of the Holy Spirit like never before. And that we will experience and testify your empowering presence in our lives, Lord. Lord, let our transforming lives be a sign to the church that you work of the Holy Spirit in us, Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.